chant Jaya Radha Madhava.
Nice.
Bhajan by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Robots. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Kopichanda Balaba Girivaradari. Yashodanandana Braja Janaranjana. Yashodanandana Braja Janaranjana. Yashodanandana Braja Janaranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Gopi Janna Bala Bhagiri Varadari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Dhanaran. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Hari Haraya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Nama. Hari Haraya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Nama. Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Nama. Gopal Govinda Rama Srimadu Sudha. Gopala Govinda Rama Srimadu Sudha. Giridhari Gopinatha Madana Mohan. Giridhari Gopinatha Madana Mohan. Sri Chaitanya Nityananda Sri Advaita Sita. Sri Chaitanya Nityananda Sri Advaita Sita. Oh, Sri Chaitanya Nityananda Sri Advaita Sita. Hari Guru Vaishnava Bhagavad Gita. Hari Guru Vaishnava Bhagavad Gita. Sri Rupi Sanatan Bhatala Gunata. Vago Palabhata Dasaramunata. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Krishna, Yadavaya Nama. Gopal Govinda Ram, Srimadu Sudan. Hari Guru Vaishnava, Bhagavata Gita. Srimad Bhagavata Gita ki? Bhopar ki? Mukam karoti vachalam pangun langayate girim yakripa tamaham vande shri gurun dinatarinam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadir Gaur Bhaktavarinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I think we're on, I've been asked to speak upon chapter 3. The Bhagavad Gita. The, huh?
Three.
Yeah. Yeah. I was a student at University of California at Davis, the agricultural campus. And I think before I became a devotee, I was going through the library, and there was a book about, I don't know, 1890 or something, and it was titled The Bhagavad Gita, the secret ancient teaching of the Brahmins of India. Like that. So here we have it. Secret ancient teaching of the Brahmins of India. Let's go to text number one. We can all chant together. Arjuna's confusion. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3:1. Repita, por favor. Arjuna uvacha. Arjuna uvacha. Jayati. Jayashi. Chet. Karmanaste. Jayasi chet karmanaste. Jayasi chet karmanaste. Matha Bhudir Janardana. Matha Bhudir Janardana. Tat Kim Kamani Ghore Mam. Tat Kim Kamani Ghore Mam. Nyo Jayasi Keshava. Arjuna Uvacha. Jayasi te kamanaste. Matha Bhudir Janardana. Tat kim kamani ghore maam. Nyo jayasi keshava. Bolye. Arjuna uvacha. Jayasi te kamanaste. Mata Bhudir Janardana. Tap kim kamani gore mam. No jayasi keshava. Mills? Jayati te kamanaste. Mata budir janarna. Tatkim kamani gore mam. Yo jayasi keshava. Marajis, Damas estimadas.
Arjuna uvacha.
Jayasi che kamanaste. Kim kame bhore mam. Yo jayasi keshava. Arjuna uvacha. Arjuna said, Jayasi. Better. Chet. If. Karmanaha, then fruitive action, te, by you, matha, is considered buddhihi, intelligence, janardana, o keshava, o krishna, tat, therefore, kim, why, karmani, in action, ghore, ghastly. Mam. Me. Nyojayasi. You are engaging. Keshava. Oh, Krishna. So this is kind of the second chapter of the of Krishna's presentation of the philosophy. You know. Bhagavad Gita, of course, is a very, very famous book. You know. Every year there's translations and commentaries like that. It's 5,000 years old, right? And still popular. And of course, there's so many Vedic literatures. I mentioned this. If you look in the Encyclopedia Britannica, there's only one country where it says the philosophy of a certain country. It doesn't say the philosophy of Germany, the philosophy of Switzerland, the philosophy of the United States of America, even the philosophy of China. It says the philosophy of India. Yeah? So India, only very special. India is famous for philosophy, yoga, mysticism. What is Italy famous for? Pizza. What is Germany famous for? Machines. Maybe war. Yeah. So every single country, you get there's some character, you know. So India, it's probably says you don't take birth in India unless you were endeavoring for spiritual life in your last life. Now, whether you're successful in this life or not, that's another question, but you got the opportunity. Krishna gave you this opportunity. Yeah. So, and Bhagavad Gita is considered one of the most prominent principle of all the Upanishads, Gita Upanishad, all the essential texts like that. It's a very important book. When the Western devotees were preaching in India in the beginning, they said to Prabhupada, sometimes Indians don't accept what we're saying. And Prabhupada said, you have to talk on the basis of Bhagavad Gita in India. Every Indian accepts Bhagavad Gita. So then the devotees asked, what if an Indian doesn't accept Bhagavad Gita? And Prabhupada says, then he goes to hell. Because it's pretty obvious this is an important book. Even a nice Muslim will be interested in reading what the Bhagavad Gita says and things like that. It's not too long. The Quran is very long, Mahabharata is very long, Vedanta Sutra is very obscure. But Bhagavad Gita is only how many texts? Seven? 700? Huh? 700 is the estimate here. Okay, 765? About 700 texts. Yeah. And, to understand the Bhagavad Gita, we have here somewhere here. Let's look ahead here. Okay. Arjuna has a problem, right? No problem, no program. Yeah. Where are we going? Okay. So, this is the problem, right there, right? See? Okay. This is the solution, right? But, for example, you take some very, very tall building, maybe 50, 60 stories,
And the foundation is not a very, very big part of the building in many ways like that. It's not, you don't even see it. You know? But without that, you can't understand the building. You can't develop a building any different than the foundation, the shape of the foundation, the depth of the foundation. So really it's very important to understand the problem, you know, Arjuna's problem. And then you can understand the solution in terms of like the problem is. So now we're publishing letters from Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, oh, you should take, you know, a little lemon juice every morning mixed with this and that, and in the afternoon do this. And the devotees think, oh, here's a recipe for good health, you know. But you don't know what the person's problem was. They may kill you like that, you know. So what is Arjuna's problem for 75 points? You don't get prasad unless you have 175 points. For 75 points. What is Arjuna's problem? And that's not his problem. That's the result of his problem. He doesn't want to go to war, right? Something is causing him, huh? Compassion. Compassion for the body, compassion for the soul, compassion, huh? Whose body? No, not really. Compassion for Arjuna's body, right? Because he's thinking, you know, he's thinking, if I kill all these people, then you know, I want to show, I want revenge, I want them all to be, you know, groveling at Draupadi's feet and, oh, begging, oh, we're so sorry for what we did, please forgive us, you know. But if they're all dead, it's like, you know, aren't you sorry now? Aren't you sorry now? There's nobody there, you know. So even if they're rascals, even if they're monsters, whatever else, they're still his cousins, right? They're still his teacher, his, you know, all these people he has so much compassion for. So basic principle, Bhagavad Gita, there's a whole range of philosophy. It's unlimited, right? Knowledge is unlimited. You can go down unlimitedly. Yamaraj has an unlimited number of jurisdictions of planets under his jurisdiction. And they get smaller and smaller and faster and faster to different realms. You know, cockroach life, bacteria life, it gets smaller and smaller and faster and faster. But every single level, there's some goodness, some, you know, philosophy, some intelligence. And if you go up, you go all the way to higher planetary systems, Brahmaloka, spiritual world, and it goes on and on. There's no limit. So Bhagavad Gita is focusing on a certain area. Bhagavad Gita is really a medicine for a certain class of people who have a certain class of disease. In the beginning, Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna is a karmi. What's a karmi? What's a karmi? What's a karmi? Huh? Well, a jnani is also a material consciousness. Huh? Yeah? Well, you know, somebody else like Attila the Hun or something, I don't know. There are a lot of gangsters who also want to engage in sense gratification. Are they karmis? They're vikarmis. Yeah, vikarmis. What is karma? What is akarma? What is vikarma? Right? Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, very difficult to understand. What is karma? What is akarma? And what is vikarma? You know? So those people, they want to enjoy this rasa with their reflection. They want to look in the mirror and say, oh yes, oh very nice. You know, new dhoti, new kurta, new sari, new nice haircut, nice makeup, like that. You know? Or get my family here also. Oh yes. You know, the jewel. You know, I am the jewel in the locket. I am the surrounded by my family, aristocratic relatives. I will give some charity to see how generous I am. I will enjoy. So they want to enjoy this rasa, this flavor, tasting this. You know, this reflection. The senses. The senses are reflection, right, of the body, of the soul, and the material energy. So they want to agitate the tongue this way, the stomach that way, the belly this way, romance, Romeo, Juliet, all these things like that. And taste, well, I've had enough Romeo and Juliet now, you know, have some tragedy, you know. Okay, some tragedy, and I'm lamenting, oh, I'm so suffering so much, you know. And you see that, little children, they love to be, you know, martyrs, you know. You've caused me so much suffering, I will die now. And you'll be sorry, you lament, I'm gone, you know. So it's all the same thing. Whether you're playing with the big toys or the little toys, you know, the cat backloader or a little toy, and the same thing, right? But it's all based upon this image, this reflection. So in the beginning, Arjuna is a karmi, but a karmi, he wants to enjoy this according to the rules given by religion. you know, Muhammad, Jesus Christ, Buddha, I guess what, Baba Sutra. There's so many rules and regulations you can follow to enjoy your sense gratification, you know, in a accepted fashion. Right? Every single religion, every single prophet gives a standard for relationships between the opposite sex. Right? Marriage, as you call it. Okay, there's some relationship like that. So in Kamabhya Priyatahari, the Kamis are dear to Krishna. He likes them. They're nice people. They're following. You see, a Kami is a decent person, you know, he, according to like local standard. You know. So in the beginning, Arjuna, you know, is you know, Duryodhana, he's maybe a B-Karmi, you might say. It's kind of a real questionable thing as far as Duryodhana is concerned. Duryodhana also thinks he's a good man. Al Capone thought he was a good man, too. That, you know. But, so we go back and forth. Is, you know, maybe Duryodhana is he's cheating, he's acting improperly. He wants to enjoy, he wants to ride on the big elephant, he wants to be surrounded by, you know, dozens and dozens of fine ladies and, you know, people coming and respecting him. Oh, Maharaj, please, may I petition you for this benediction? Oh, yes, you may receive this from me. Yeah? And Arjuna wants to enjoy. Does he want to enjoy legitimately? What does he want to do? What does Arjuna want to do at the start of the Bhagavad Gita? What does he want to do at the start of the Bhagavad Gita?
Fight.
Yeah, he wants to kill people, right? Yeah, does Bhima want to kill people?
Yes.
Who does he want to kill especially? Arjushashana. He's looking across the battlefield, looking at his watch, just kind of slapping his thigh, looking at Dushasana, getting his club on the ground, you know. Yeah. You know. So what is sweeter than the taste of revenge, you know? In one picture, that one movie, the Mahabharata, Bhima finally kills Dushasana, Bhima, he's looking up with blood on his face like an animal, and he says, "There is nothing sweeter than the blood of my enemy." Yeah. So they've suffered for so long. How long have they suffered? How long have they tolerated these insults? 5 years? 10 years? 14 years? Almost their whole life. Now they tried to poison Bhima like that. They tried to burn them alive with their mother in a house of shellac. They had to lie on the ground like animals, beasts in the forest with their mother. You know, on and on like that. The gambling match, on and on. You know, so Yudhisthira is what? He's Dharma personified. Yeah. But what is Dharma? Does he know the laws of Dharma completely perfectly? That's curious. It's a very fine thing. What is Dharma? It goes higher and higher, higher and higher. Was Karna following Dharma? Radeya? It's very subtle. Would you follow Dharma if you're put in a situation? Kunti came and said, "I'm your mother." He said, "Oh my God, I'm asking you now to give up this battle. Let's come across the battlefield. You know, bow down at your younger brothers will bow at your feet. These people who you've always been, you know, antagonistic with you, they'll bow down, and the battle will be over. Duryodhana won't be able to fight anymore without you, and all this blood and killing and killing and killing will be finished like that. So please come with me." So what did he say? No. What was his argument? Yeah, he said, "The only person who ever really has been my friend, who helped me out, you know, when nobody else, not even the big, big Pandavas, you know, they all rejected me in an unfair fashion, right? Oh, let's go to the stable and shovel some manure. Let's go." Yeah, chariot driver. The Bhimas, you know, everybody, right? And so the only person who really is, you know, from the very beginning has taken care of me is Duryodhana, my friend. And so in the moment when he needs me the most, you're asking to walk out on him. So, what would you have done? Maybe you were Karna. It's very subtle. It's a big, big test, you know, like that. At the time of death, we're facing 8,400,000 different options. You can click 8,400,000 different options, and only 8,400,000 and one of them will get you out of the material world. And you haven't got a lot of time to choose. You're going at about 186,000 million miles an hour straight towards these 8,400,000 and one doors. And it, you know, you got to pick out one of them right away. And if you pick the wrong one, you go back in the cycle of samsara, and now you are Fifi, Fido. Sorry, you picked the wrong door. One more time. The Prabhupada says we're coming here after hundreds and millions of lifetimes to get this human body. hundreds and millions of lifetimes. So a very fine book, you know, to get, probably just basically Bhagavad Gita is to get you out of the material world. After that, you know, devotional service advances. So Arjuna's a karmi. He wants to enjoy, you know, the fruits of his work, you know, according to a just fashion, like that. But is it really just? You know, God says, okay, all the white thieves rob on this side of town, and all the black thieves rob on this side of town, and all the yellow thieves rob on that side of town, right? This is what you find in the Dharma Shastras, right? Yeah. This is what's called honor amongst thieves, right? This term, honor amongst thieves. Everybody's a thief, right? But just to make things so they're halfway peaceful, to see what's going on, then God, in every single scripture, the Quran, the Bible, the Vedas, he gives some system to keep things at least a little bit, you know, organized, so you can see what's going on, right? Yeah. In a modern world, one man may, you know, seduce six different women, you know, and like that, and it's okay, you know. Maybe about something's going on, I don't know. But if he marries two of them, he goes to jail, right? He promised to take care of even two of them. Okay, now I have relations with you. We're going to have my child. Don't worry, I'll protect you. I'll take care of you like that. You know, I'll just get married. Wait, you're married to two women. Go to jail. Go to prison. But if you just seduce six different women and don't take care of them at all, it's legal, right? Understand my point? This is America. Yeah. But all these systems are there, you know. Take care of things properly, live a proper life, and then it becomes peaceful, because then you see, okay, I have relations with six women, and all these children are being born, no one's taking care of them, and I can't figure out why I have this big taxes, you know, to pay for welfare systems and all these kind of things, you know. But if I'm married to all six of them, then I figure out right away, you know, why I'm working so hard. And looking at the seventh girl, she's kind of beautiful, but I'm thinking, oh, forget it. Because I see what the result is, you know, like that. So you follow karma in the scriptures, you'll see what the result is. You'll get what? Karma leads to? Gyan, wisdom. And wisdom leads to? Surrender, attention, focus, jhan, meditation, focus on, focus now. Now I know what to focus on. And basically it's almost like bhakti, that's yoga, like that. So in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, the problem is Arjuna's thinking he's going to be happy by being a karmi. After all these years, revenge is going to be there. And he's talking about this thing, and he says, oh, Kaushava, take me in front of the opposing army so I can see these rascals who's come here to help this demon Duryodhana. Let me see these people. Krishna says, okay, karmi, come here. I'll show you what karma means. This is a zero-sum game, fellow. Right? Everybody starts with 0 points in this game, because there's nothing here. No, zero, duality. So if you want to get 100 points, that means somebody else has to be in debt 100 points. So he takes him right in front of who? Two people. Yeah, and they never did anything bad to him, right? They, you know, he loved him so much. Dronacharya loved him more than he loved his own son, it appears, like that. The relationship was so close, it's unbelievable, you know. You know, he's actually when Arjuna is announcing himself, who are you? The disciple of Drona. Anything else? That's it. You know, this my other owners, proprietors, father and mother, they gave me away to him, and he's my only you know, he's my only thing in life. It's one in the one Mahabharata, before he has to kill him in a fight, then he and Drona, you know, play a little bit, shooting each other like that, and, you know, pretending to be hurt and stuff like that. Oh, you've shot me, Arjuna. Like a little child, father playing with his children. Oh, you hit me, I'm going to die. You know? And it goes back and forth, and then finally they realizing, you know, that he has to do it. You know, he has to kill Drona or somebody like that. It goes on like that. He didn't kill him, actually, somebody else. But then this point is there. And Bhishma, the same thing. So at that point, Krishna is Madan Mohan. Right? Krishna takes three roles. Madan Mohan, Govinda, and Gopinath. Yeah, which represent three different aspects of the Vedas. What? Sambandha, Abhideya, Ayojana. Yeah. First off, we have to give up our attraction to Madan, Cupid. The basic principle is that Arjuna wants to go back at the end of the day, drop all these crowns of these rascals at Draupadi's feet, and then she'll tie her hair up and say, thank you, Arjuna. And he'll feel good. My woman's happy with me. Like that. Yeah, in a just fashion, right? We all want to earn the adoration, the respect, you know, the attention of the opposite sex. you know, somehow or other. And of course that becomes grosser and grosser like that. But that's the basic principle, is adoration by the opposite sex. Adi Rasa, this reflection of the spiritual world. So he's attracted to, he's influenced by what? Madan, Cupid, in a subtle sense. So he's thinking, I'll be happy. I'll regain the honor of my wife, like that, and I'll be happy, like that. And so Krishna takes him right in front of, you know, somebody else. Okay, if you want to do this, that means somebody else has to become dishonored, right? Dishonored, die, like that. So it starts off with these people who really mean something to him so intensely, and he's realizing this, and then he's realizing what? Well, Duryodhana, my cousins, my nephews, God, even though they're my, you know, rascals, still, it's my family. You know, is it worth fighting for? So then he goes from being a carny to being a... Yeah, what's his idea? What's he going to do then? First he's going to kill everybody, enjoy. Now he's going to... And kill and enjoy, renounce and... not suffer. Not going to enjoy, but he's not going to suffer. Right? So again, he's Arjuna, if he was here now, proportionally would probably be about like, you know, this tall, you know, large arms like that, very good looking, handsome, very sharp, looking at everybody, you know, like that, clever, quick as a cat, you know. Yeah, basically kind of like Arnold Schwarzenegger when he was younger, like that, you know, kind of like that. So he can't go to the forest. He can't sit there and chant Jap, you know, 18 hours a day, you know. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare Hare, Krishna Hare Krishna. It's not, he says that. I can't do that. So damned if you do, and damned if you don't. So that's basically the end of the second chapter, first chapter. And that's his problem. He's gone this far. He's tried to solve his problem himself, and he can't do it, right? You know? And he's caught in the real dilemma here. So in the second chapter, what does he do? Huh? Yeah, Sanskrit? Sanskrit? Sisyaste. Sisyaste ham. Sisyaste ham. I'm your disciple. Sadimam. Please instruct me. Sisyaste ham sadimam tvam papanam. I'm surrendered unto you. This is extremely, 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 extremely important point in the Bhagavad Gita. Hamlet has the same problem. He doesn't want to kill his father, his uncle. He doesn't want to call his mother a royal. You know, he has to chastise her for being something very rude, what she did. She married her father, her husband's brother, you know, so quickly after the funeral that the cooked meats from the funeral sacrifice did but do double duty as cold cuts at the wedding feast, right? The pakoras from the funeral feast were still usable as well at the wedding feast, like that. That's how quick it was. She got remarried, you know? Yeah. And so he has to chastise his own mother, calling her something which you can't say publicly, you know? And he has to kill his uncle. He doesn't want to do it. Oh, time is out of joint, oh cursed spite, that I was ever born to set it right, right? It's the same story. That's why it's the most popular story in the West. Same story. Fratricide, family killings. So he's stuck. You know? And does he surrender to somebody? No, he doesn't have a guru. It's his misfortune. You know? But he comes to a conclusion. His conclusion is, you know, very much similar to the conclusion that we find in Bhagavad Gita. Okay, we're stopping here now. Back up from Hamlet. Back over here. You're the same person. So then he surrenders. And what does Krishna say? What is the first thing Krishna teaches? It's the first half of second chapter. Yeah. Sochayan. Wrong word first. Sochayan and Vasochas Twams. Pranyam Bhasha Nabasha She Sam Bhagasam Cha Sochanti Panditaha. So here we are in New York, and there's two New York cops sitting in a car in a rough area of New York, you know, with their 457 Magnums, their mace, their clubs, their radios, yeah, everything else, handcuffs, you know, sticks. And they're, you know, watching the bar scene at, you know, Saturday night, and they know they have to knock a few drunks over the head and break up fights and stuff like that, so on. And then one of them starts like talking about, well, maybe we shouldn't be so cruel to people. like that. You know, maybe we should just talk to people and stuff like that. And the other guy says, "Hey, Rabbi." You know. So what does Krishna say? Yeah, "Hey, Pundit," like that. It's sarcastic. Hey, Pundit, you know, like that. Arjuna's there ready with, you know, more weapons than, you know, George Bush can you know, pull out of the hat, you know, four times over, just in his own chariot, like that. You know, 640 million people are ready to fight, and Arjuna's saying, "Well, hey guys, maybe we should talk about this." Prabhupada says it's a Bengali phrase. He says it's a Bengali phrase. It says, "You've come to dance, so uncover your head and dance." There's a lady in a dance sari. She gets up and they're exposing her body in a dance sari. You know, really gross, but it's definitely her feminine features are all exposed. And she's makeup's there, and her head's uncovered, and she's dancing in front of men and people like that. The mayor's wife can't do this, you know. So then she's coming and she's on stage like that, and she's covering her face and dancing. So the Bengali phrase is, "You come to dance, uncover your head and dance." You know. So he gives this thing to Arjuna. He's being sarcastic. Sometimes he's sarcastic, sometimes he's encouraging him. Prabhupada says, "You can't understand Bhagavad Gita unless you worship the deity. You can't understand Bhagavad Gita unless you understand it's a very intense conversation between two people. After this class, you have to go home and tonight murder your family." Any questions? Well, yeah. He has to, after this class, he has to do this, engage in this horrible activity. You know, intense. It's a very intense conversation. It's very emotional. Everybody can't understand the flow of the conversation as you get inside and see, Krishna must be saying this because Arjuna's thinking this. Vishnu Chakravarti comments like that. He says, "Here Arjuna's thinking this, therefore Bhagavan says this." You know, like that. See, it'll be revealed to you. There's no limit to Bhagavad Gita. Right? You know? So at this point he says, you know, "Hey, come on, you know. You want me to tell you the truth? You want to forget all this sentiment now? I'll tell you the truth, cold as it is. You're a moron. You're a complete fool. You're an idiot." Like that. You're lamenting for the body. You know? Like that. Sochayanava sochastram stagnivasya stabasya se gadasum zakadasum sha nana sochandipanta. Learn principal verses. Right? You know, build your logic, your little structure with solid things like that. But you can present it like that. You know, solidly to people who want evidence that you're quoting the Bhagavad Gita. So, you're lamenting about this. So, then what's his first lesson? First off, you're an illusion. You're money for the body. And what's the body? Does he explain that? What does he say about the body? Huh? The field of work. He says that about the body. The first up to verse 30. Yeah. So what does that say about the body? The body. Yeah. Yeah. The body's changing. In the end, it's destroyed. So he's talking at the body and?
Transmigration.
That doesn't talk so much. A little bit about transmigration, a little bit. He's talking about the knower of the body, the soul. What is that in Sanskrit? Dehi is the body. Sanskrit, the knower of the body, the possessor of the body. Atma. Yeah, the Atma. But did he talk about Paramatma and Jivatma? No, not in that part. No. He just said there's an Atma, and that Atma is, you know, going through different bodies, I think. You know, never was there a time when I did not exist, and you knew all these kings, in the future we cease to be, as the embodied soul travels in this body from youth to boyhood to old age, time of death, travels in a new body. So changing bodies is an example the Prabhupada uses again and again. To preach, to communicate to people. Solomon, right? Solomon, the patriarch of Christianity, he uses this example. Shakespeare uses it. All the world's a stage. The men and women therein have their parts. And a man in his life plays seven different parts. Everybody has their entrances and entrances and exits, and a man in his life plays seven parts. The infant, mewling and puking in his mother's arms. The young boy with shining morning face and satchel, making its snail's pace to school. The young person, composing a love poem describing his mistress's eyebrow. "Your eyebrow is like the moon, sighing like the furnace." The young warrior, bearded like the leopard, with strange sayings and brave oaths, even into the cannon's mouth. Vive la France! Yeah. The next, the justice with good cape on, and full of wise sayings and modern instances. The next, the what does it go? Then the old person, his great manly pipes turned to a mere whistle, and his skinny shanks now too thin for the wide world. And what is the last drama, last phase of this drama? You know, mere oblivion. So ends eyes, so ends teeth, so ends everything. God. So it's a very powerful analogy, very powerful. We have a changing bodies exhibit. You can see that. And I was in one, it was actually Boise, here in Boise. We had a festival on the other side of the river. And Madhua set up the whole festival with all these displays and everything else. And he knew. He put this big changing bodies exhibit. It's about half the size of this room in width. Right next to the bicycle path, the path that goes across the bridge to the campus. And so many times I was amazed. There's probably people going by and they're just looking this way and that way. And they slow down. They back up and they look. You know, wow. And you see them kind of like going, Another time we had one set up in Santa Cruz on the Pacific Avenue. It's, you know, big tourist shopping area. And there's a little changing bodies exhibit like this. And some lady who was chanting, and some lady had gone inside the store with her mother and a couple of children. And one of the children, maybe like about 8 years old, was just staying outside. She didn't want to go outside. So she was kind of standing there. And then she was over next to this changing bodies exhibit going like this, like that, you know. Like, what's this? Listening, she said. And she was saying, Billy, Susie, me, Mommy, Grandma. And she was 8 years old. You know, but she was getting the message. So it's a very important thing to have these pictures in your house, you know, changing body picture, to think about, to meditate on it. You know? So he gives this example, understand, that you can understand rationally that the body is changing, but something there is constant like that. The garment, it changes. Don't be lament for this garment like that. So what's the second half of Bhagavad Gita then? For the second chapter? Second half of the second. First half is called Sankhya. Distinguish these two things. The soul, the body, which is comes from material nature, and then the second half of the second chapter. Yeah, what's the Sanskrit word here? Some kind of yoga. It's the first yoga Krishna presents. The second half of the second chapter. Bodhi yoga. Bodhi means? Yeah. So then I think basically, as I'm remembering, basically it says, hey, don't be a complete jerk. Just absorbed in like the world around you. Just think about things. Use your intelligence. Be guided by your intelligence. Like, come to your senses. Think about things. And then guide your actions. Guide your karma by buddhi, intelligence. And that's basically the whole thing. If you don't do that, you get caught in this and that. And somebody who does this, what's the very last verse of the second chapter? What's the reward you get for by being a buddhi yogi? Long chapter. Okay. Peter Peach. Esha Brahmani Stiti Partha. Nainam Prapya Vimuhate. Stitvasyam Antakalepi. So if you're fixing this Brahma, this Brahmi, what is this Brahmi? The spiritual fixation, if you're there, Esha Brahmi Stita, fixed Partha. If you're fixing this Brahman situation, Nainam, Prapya, you don't get again, Mimuyate, illusion, right? Yeah. Stitvasya is so situated at the end, Antikale, P, what do you get? Brahma Nirvana. So, what is the Buddhist goal?
Nirvana.
So you see right here, Bhagavad Gita. We're simply presenting your Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says that if you follow Buddha Yoga, if you're a Buddhist, what do you get? Brahman Nirvana. So how does Prabhupada translate that? How does Prabhupada translate Brahman Nirvana? The kingdom of God. As it is? What do you mean, as it is? It doesn't say kingdom of God, it says Brahman Nirvana. Does anybody know what Nirvana means? I don't think it means without forest. Maybe it does. I don't know. Speculators. Let's speculate. Try to find out the actual Sanskrit root. Like that. But this is the beginning. Bhagavad Gita is progressive. At the end, it's what the Prabhu says in chapter 3 now. We're chapter 3. Okay, but now we know where we are. Chapter 3. Let's look at text number 2. Vyamishaineva vyatena vakyena bodhi mohasyaivatme tadikam vada nishchacham yena shreyam hamapyam. My intelligence is bewildered, my booty is bewildered by your equivocal instructions. Therefore, please tell me decisively which will be the most beneficial for me. Right? Yeah. Purport. In the previous chapter, as a prelude to Bhagavad Gita. Right? Chapter 2 is a prelude to the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavan hasn't started his song yet, really. He's just kind of clearing his throat, moving, adjusting the microphone like that. Many different paths were explained, such as Sankhya Yoga, Buddhi Yoga, control of the senses by intelligence, work without fruitive desire, yeah, and the position of the neophyte. So we define those things ourselves. This is all presented unsystematically. A more organized outline of the path would be necessary for action and understanding. So I was reading the second chapter and I was thinking, well, that's not very clear. You know? Then I was thinking, but that's offensive, thinking like that. But then Prabhupada said, the second chapter is not sufficient to really, you know, act on the activity like that. So then Krishna starts to speak, and he says, yes, there's two aspects here. You know, one is Sankhya, you know, Jnana, development of knowledge, becoming a wise person, analyzing this world. And the other is? Sanskrit word? Yeah. Yoga. Jnana yogena sankhyanam, karma yogena yoginam. Yeah? Jnana yogena sankhyanam, karma yogena yoginam. Yeah? So he's, Arjuna has rejected, Arjuna before the battle started, Arjuna rejected being a Vikarmi. Right? And when he came to Kurukshetra, then he wanted to be a Karmi, but he saw that and decided better than that was to be a Jnani. But even that didn't solve his problems. You know? So now then Krishna is presenting, you know, Sankhya, Jnana, like that. And now he's going to present something new, which is yoga, karma yoga, right? This is the essence. This is basically the conclusion of the whole Bhagavad Gita from this point on. It's karma yoga, like that. So he's telling him, yeah, you can develop knowledge, you can understand things, you can be a wise man, you can be detached from the stupidity. But if you're engaged in positive activity, automatically you're not engaged in negative activity, and automatically you have knowledge, right? You know, if you drive a car, you have to know how to drive a car, right? Yeah, it's automatic. The knowledge has to be there automatically, like that. That's basically the whole message of Bhagavad Gita. And he goes on, though, trying to explain it to Arjuna in a practical fashion. You know, talking about this, we can know these things. Okay, you can know this, but practically speaking, you know, how do I do it? You know. So what does he say? You know, what is his first suggestion, according to your analysis? What more information does he give him? He tells him, yeah, what you should do, you know, you should engage in karma yoga. You should fight your battle, right? You have to engage in sacrifice. Yeah, sacrifice. Otherwise, this sense gratification is useless. But what is sacrifice? All living entities have to engage in sacrifice. Without sacrifice, you can't even maintain your body. Then he says, all living beings. And food grains come from? And rain comes from? Yajna. And yajna comes from? And prescribed duties are prescribed in the? Okay, so he's given a very practical path now. He's talking about Kshatriya karma. If you go through this chapter and see how many times the word karma appears, it's incredible. Karma, karmasya, karmena, karmat. So it's called karma yoga. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, what the Vedas describe? Is there Kshatriya karma, Vaishya karma, Stri karma? You know, this is the same as dharma. Kshatriya dharma, Vaishya dharma, Stri dharma. What's the difference between karma and dharma in this sense? Karma means the whole endeavor, the whole role. But what's karma? Kshatriya karma and Kshatriya dharma. What's the difference? Kshatriya karma and Kshatriya dharma. Huh? Yeah, dharma maybe more the nature, and karma is more the activity like that. But it's very similar. You have to engage in your Kshatriya dharma, your duty. You have to engage in your Kshatriya karma. Yeah. A little subtle difference, but basically it comes down to the same thing. They're connected. So the Vedas describe Kshatriya karma. It's not a whimsical thing. You know, you have certain things you should do, like that. You know? You know, for example, a Kshatriya is his nature, and it's his right to control people, to dominate people. And he can also compete with other Kshatriyas over who's going to dominate. You know? Within certain limits, they can fight over things, over who's going to be the controller. You know, police officer walks up, a bunch of people are gathered on the street corner in Boise and some arguing or something like that, and some police officer walks up and says, "What seems to be the problem here?" Yeah, okay, he's got guns, he's got everything else, you know. But he wants to control. It's just natural for a Kshatriya. He wants to take charge of the situation. You know, nobody else really knows what's going on. What seems to be the problem here? I can figure it out, you know. What's the other side of the coin? His nature is to control. He has a right to do that. Other side is, you know, generosity, right? These are two essential things for Kshatriya karma. You want to control people, dominate things, but you have to protect them, you know. "Well, officer, there's a mad dog over there. There's a pack of mad dogs over there with rabies." "Don't worry. Get behind me. I'll take care of you." Like that. You know? So that's his job. One side, he has the right to control people. Other side, he has a responsibility to protect them, people who surrender to him, like that. And he feels this is just. This is right. You know? So there's many, many details. These are called Dharma Shastras. What are some of the principal Dharma Shastras? Manu Samhita. It's 81, 24. You have Nivalkya Samhita. What else? Parasara's Dharma Shastra. It describes so many things. For example, Parasara, which is for the Kali Yuga, he says if the baker's wife in the village is caught engaged in an adulterous relationship with the mayor, somebody finds them, oh my God, the mayor and the baker's wife. Oops, okay. So then he gives a, you know, because they've deviated from their dharma, you know, adultery. So, Vinyagnavalkya says you've got to consider three things. What is her caste relationship? Was she protected by her family or not? Was she willing or not? So if some drunken dock worker, you know, assaults some brahmana's wife in the church and rapes her, then it's a different than, you know, okay, he was a Kshatriya, she is a Shudrani. Okay, that's not so degraded a thing. She's a, you know, aspiring, maybe, you know, some higher fellow, and he's okay, not polluting some, you know, high-class lady, the priest's wife. Okay, not so bad. Was she protected or unprotected? No, her husband didn't give a damn what she was doing, like that, or anybody else watching her and trying to keep her, you know, protected. You know, okay, not so bad. Third thing, was she willing or unwilling? She was willing. Okay. Dharma Shastra. Punishment is, the mayor should have his head shaved with the urine of a donkey in public place, you know, everybody else there. So it's all advertised, oh, the mayor's punishment is going to be on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. Come and watch the mayor get his head shaved in public with donkey urine. The barber's sitting there laughing, you know, sharpening the razor, and the donkey standing over there, and there's somebody selling cotton candy, and everyone's there watching like that. And the mayor's sitting there. You know, for an honorable person like the mayor, this is great, you know, embarrassment, great, you know, humility. The baker's wife is sitting over there looking at the ground like this. Everyone would just stand there and laughing, you know. So then that's it. It's not such a heavy thing that they did. It's, you know, okay, something fell down like that in this illicit relationship, you know. Maybe, you know. So then for a few days afterwards, the mayor's walking around with a hat on, and his head smells kind of funny, and people are kind of like, when he comes into his office, they're kind of like, you know, keeping from laughing, he's looking at them and stuff. And he looks at the barber's wife and he's thinking, hair's still a little short, you know, like that, forget that. You know? So this is Dharma Shastra. So Krishna's given Arjuna a very practical thing now. Now he can check it out. Yudhishthira's already done this. Yudhishthira's done this down to the last detail of the Dharma Shastras. Is this a righteous fight or not, according to the Dharma Shastras? There's no question. Duryodhana still has questions. Actually, in the end, you know, Duryodhana's lying with his back broken. He's dying, and his life is going away, and nobody's there. And he's so disgusted, you know, life and everything else, and, you know, life is unjust. You know, just look at me, you know. And so somebody comes and sits next to him and doesn't even look at them, you know. But after some time, there's somebody there sitting with him, so he feels a little relief, and he looks over. And who is it? Krishna. Yeah, Krishna. Ah, Krishna. Well, some people say he's the super soul. and he never really was my enemy. He always seemed to be, you know, trying to do what he thought was good for me. Like that. So, okay, Sri Krishna, you're the super soul. What did I do wrong? Huh? What did I do wrong? Like that. Why did I end up like this? Well, you know, you tried to, you know, poison Bhima. Well, he was always shaking us out of apple trees and beating on us and everything else, and he was so arrogant, like that, and so on. I mean, we're Kshatriyas. You know, you win however you can, you know? Yeah, well, okay, you know. Then you tried to burn him to death, and you went through all these things, one after another. And Duryodhana was giving you reasons why, according to Kshatriya Dharma and things like that, it was all bona fide, and Krishna was saying, well, okay. And he said, well, in the gambling match, then there, you tried to denude the 16-year-old girl, who's, you know, such a kind person, generous, austere, and, you know, equal to everybody like that, and, you know, the Pandavas and healing at them. So, you know, was that Dharma? Was that just? Was that correct? And that's where Duryodhana said, no, it wasn't. Big Kshatriyas, you know, doing this to a little girl, you know, big, brave. No. So even he came to that point and accepted, yeah. That we did something wrong. And that's why Draupadi, she's the essence of this whole thing. She had to go through this for many reasons. But one reason was because that was where Krishna lets things happen, right? He lets the demons harass Prahlada Maharaj, on and on and on. Why? Because he, you know, bring out the poison, bring the contamination to the surface. So that even this demon, he was a Rakshasa, even they can admit, understand, well, yeah, there are limits. There are certain things that a gentleman just doesn't do. That, yeah? So he made progress. Even Duryodhana made progress in this activity like that. And so Yudhisthira, he was more scrutinizing, and so, you know, from the Dharma Shastras, everything Arjuna was doing was fine. But the Dharma Shastras weren't sufficient to satisfy the soul, right? The soul wasn't satisfied by the Dharma Shastras. Arjuna's soul was still unhappy, you know? So then Krishna is now talking something which is, he says, the flowery language of the Vedas talks about three activities, heavenly planets, these things, but you have to understand something beyond that. Yeah? So what's his first advice? Right? He's talking about engaging in, first of all, he's saying engage in the Dharma Shastras, and the conclusion of that is engage in the battle. You know? Then he says, even but better than that, you know, and if you do this, you'll get, you know, again, he's repeating, You'll get Brahma Nirvana, right? You'll get liberation. Kings like Janak and others, they all got liberation by this, right? And also you'll set a and if you're on this platform where you're liberated, still you should do this, right? Still you should fight, right? A little higher thing. You're liberated, you know these things. Your jnana has made you liberated, but still you should engage in action and fight. Why? Sanskrit. Huh? Yad, yad. Yeah, because other people will follow your example, you know. So you act properly. You act properly for their example. So, but still, Arjuna is not satisfied. Do your duty because it's your duty. You'll get liberation from these anxieties, and you'll be other people, so they will also not become illusioned. They'll become free from karma. But then 3:30. Let's change. Turn to 3:30. Bhagavad Gita 3:30. This is super critical, as far as I'm concerned. What do I know? Okay. A piece of peach. Mayi sarvani karmani. Mayi sarvani karmani. Sanyas yadya machetasa. Nirashir nimamo bhujva. Yudhyajva vigato jvara. Fight. The Sanskrit here is so easy. What does mayi mean? Sarvani? Karmani? But it's more than action, it's also dharma, right? We've already declared that. This is, you know, all of your dharma, your activity, your nature, you know. Very simple. Mayi sarvani karmani. This is the first time that Krishna is saying, kind of distinguishing himself from being different than a different atma. After this point, there's one point earlier where he says mat para, second Bhagavad Gita, do this Buddha yoga in terms of me, but it's not very distinct. But here he's very clear, you know, do your karma, surrender your karma to me, right? So before he's an atma, he's a self-realized atma, but he has no duty to perform, but he's also the same as Janak and others, right? So this is the point in Bhagavad Gita where Krishna starts to introduce something different. Prakriti, Atma, now, Atma, Jivatma, and Paramatma. And relationship? Yeah, he surrendered, sannyasa. The Jivatma should surrender to the Paramatma. Yeah? You won't find it. Only you'll find it one place. He says, "I got." Well, yeah. See, Bhagavan, he's an opulent person. He has a good car, nice wife. Yeah. Bhagavan Narada, you know, Bhagavan Vyas. You know. But here it's very clear. You know the Vedas, everything. But here it's very, at least in the Bhagavad Gita, at this point, you're not going to find. Probably it's translating, you know, the kingdom of God. You know. Yeah, very clear. The Sanskrit. Well, he hasn't established it yet, but at least he's saying, the direct inference, implication, is that, you know, that you should surrender to me. Well, maybe I'm a self-realized soul, maybe I'm this and that. He hasn't, no details yet about that, who he is. But it's definitely that what's the result? Surrender all your works to me with full knowledge of me, without desire for profit and no claims for proprietorship, free from lethargy, fight. But he doesn't go much beyond it. He goes back into again following injunctions like that. Yeah. So third chapter is going more detail, the Karma Yoga. And he's talking again. He goes back and forth. If you do this, you get liberation. If you don't do this, you get entangled. If you do this, you get liberation. If you don't do this, you get tangled. These kind of people follow it, they got liberation. These people don't follow it, they get... So you find Bhagavad Gita is going back and forth. You know? So same thing again and again, just looking for different angles like that. You know? Really to show Arjuna, always contrasting, you know, for Arjuna like that. You know. And then it finishes off with, I'm sure, does Krishna, Arjuna agree to surrender? Not really. And he goes into it talking about, again, those people who don't do this. He was talking a lot about karmis and be karmis, you know, like that. You know. And be a karmi, basically he's saying, you know, real karmi, but detached. Jnani, be a jnana karmi, right? Be a karmi with understanding of the elements of situation like that. You know, don't try to enjoy the fruits of your work. You know. And then finally he describes, what is it that, you know, what is the real enemy? And he talks about this, you know, lust, how you become covered by different levels of covering. Your knowledge becomes covered more and more like that. Arjuna wasn't so covered. Very quickly Krishna could wake him up like that, you know? He listened to me, a little passion. Like that. And quickly Krishna, a little shake of Krishna could bring him back to Buddhi. So, one kind of interesting point, karma, 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 karma. Then text number, the very last few texts here. What do you want here? You know, text number 40. Krishna kind of summarizes everything, text 41, 42. So, please repeat. Indriyani mano bhudir asyadistanam uchate etar vimohayatyesha jnanam avritya dehinam. The senses, the mind, and intelligence are the sitting places of this lust, and though through them lust covers the real knowledge of living entity and bewilders him. Tasmat Fabindriyanya Dao Nyamya Bharatarshaba Papmanam Prajajahinam Jnana Vignana Nashinam. Therefore Arjuna, best of the Bharatas, in the very beginning, curb this great symbol of sin, lust, by regulating the senses and slay this destroyer of knowledge and self-realization. Indriyani Paryanyahur Indriyevya Parammana Manastu Para Buddhir. Yo, Bhude Parata Tusa. The working senses are superior to dull matter. Yeah? Mind is higher than the senses. The intelligence is still higher than the mind, and he, the soul, is even higher than intelligence. So he started off with Arjuna saying, "My Bhude is bewildered." You say, "Do Bhude yoga," but your instructions are bewildering my Bhude. So he gives these instructions, and the finish of the chapter, he's coming back again to the same point. Now we're back here again. Now is it clear? What is Bhude? What is the material nature? What are the senses? What is the Atma? Like that, you know? And so basically, he's come back to the same point. There's no progress in some ways, you know? Yeah? But with more depth. So finally, in chapter 4, then, Arjuna had another question, right? You know? Lord Krishna says, I instructed the science of yoga before, so forth, so forth, so on. So now, in the fourth chapter, the first time, you're going to find where Krishna is actually saying why you should surrender unto me. You know, why am I different? Avyayatma ajopi san. I'm unlimited. I'm the source of all living beings. I never born. Bhutadim, I'm the source of all living beings. I'm not just an ordinary self-realized soul. I'm the source of all creatures. I remember everything. I know the past, the present, and the future like that. So in the future, he'll give more and more descriptions of who he is, more detail. So Arjuna can really understand that, Krishna knows everything. He's everybody's best friend. He knows everything. He's fully powerful. So therefore, let me do what he says, like that. Somebody says, cut here. And you say, stick the knife in the person there, like that. Well, what are your qualifications? I'm a surgeon. I do this and that, everything else. Okay, here we go. Now I'll pull it down hard. Okay. Now I'll pull these things open. Okay. So we have to know who Krishna is. And as far as I'm reading, this is the first time that Krishna actually says who he is. He says, I'm an Atma, not the body. And I'm a self-realized Atma. I'm not entangled, therefore I act properly. But now he's saying, Avyayatma Ajopi San. I never forget these things. Many births we've taken. So fourth chapter is really where Bhagavan, right, really begins to show who he is. And Arjuna then has to get real knowledge about this. So really, even at the end of the third chapter, he can't act, really, for satisfaction. Everybody wants to love somebody. So Krishna is saying, love, serve me. I'll just do it, I'll be detached, I'll do my duty because of my duty. But it's not satisfying. Somebody wants to do something for somebody, right? So who's that person? Not for Draupadi. The whole conclusion of Bhagavad Gita is, Arjuna, you should fight to regain Draupadi's honor. You should fight to regain Draupadi's honor, but not because she's your wife, because she is my devotee. Yeah, it's a big difference.
In the kingdom, it's a princess.
Okay, but they're also my children. Aham bija padapita. You also want to protect all the people in the society, all ladies and these problems and everything else. But not because it's, why? Because it's my I have a certain plan that things should be nice, like that. But that's actually not what's going to happen. And Arjuna realizes this. All this society will go to hell. Because I'll kill all the protectors, all the ladies will be unprotected, everything else will go on, everything will fall into complete chaos. And that's what happens. But, okay, you want this. I can see that. There's a good reason for this. There's a good reason for the Kali Yuga. Right? Kali Yuga is a nasty time. Horrible. What percentage of the Divya Yuga is a Kali Yuga? It's 10%. 40% is Satya Yuga, 30% is Age of Silver, 20% is Age of Bronze, which is okay. Silver Age is good, and the Golden Age is great. Great, good, okay, nasty. But it's 10%. Right? But some people, they just dig right into it. They look for it, Hey, man, is there an all-night bar in this town? Where's the action in this town, man? We used to go to Rudy's. Rudy's Bar and Grill. Fat Sally's Bar and Grill. Okay, well, how do I get there? Well, you're going to be down here, you got to go there, this way, or that way. You get lost three times, you still find Rudy's Bar and Grill. And you can go in there, this is it. We walk by bars sometimes, the smell coming out is so abominable. It's just like horrible, But people are looking for that, So Krishna has his plan. So it's Bhagavad Gita. It goes on and on and on like this. And this third chapter is a part of this whole thing, In the end, Krishna shows his Virat Roop. He shows everything. He shows pantheism, I'm the source of all these pantheistic realities, whatever you can spiritual thing you can see, I'm the Paramatma, like that. And I've also been the four-armed, Vishnu who lives in the spiritual world, who's so beautiful, like that, ever youthful. Vishnu's never born. Vishnu's only 16 years old. And also, everybody in Vaikuntha is just never more than 16 years old. But he's so beautiful, so attractive. And then he shows one more form after the four-armed form. What's the Sanskrit? The Sanskrit. Somyavapu, which means? A beautiful form. He says, even the gods in heaven are anxious to see this form. But that's all. So everything's in Bhagavad Gita. Everything's there. But it's just, the emphasis is now upon, Karma Yoga. Right? Karma Yoga. Like that. He explains it very thoroughly, like that. And the Prabhupada says, then you're out of the material world. You're linked to Krishna. And you do that, then you get more and more knowledge, and you get finally, by that, you get meditation, concentration, and that concentration leads you to natural love of Krishna, like that. It's Somya Vapu, like that. So, any questions, comments, ideas? Yes, sir. No, karma means, you know, you got dikarmis, karmis, gyanis, yogis. And then amongst the yogis, then there's karma yogis, jnana yogis, bhakti yogis. And amongst the bhakti yogis, you got vairi bhakti, raganuga bhakti, bhava bhakti, and then prema bhakti, which is yoga, but it's not in practice anymore. That's why, you know. So this is a big confusion. You know, a jnani is different than a jnana yogi. You know. Jnani wants to really dominate God, you know, reality, by understanding things, by analysis, like that, and so on. Has a still selfish idea. But he's a wise man. He's willing to look at things intelligently, you know. But he really wants to understand so he can know what's going on, control it, you know. Then he comes to the point of having some knowledge about how reality is working, and then he's willing to surrender enough to actually, to really meditate on it, you know, focus on it. And that's yoga. You become connected to reality, you know. And then yoga, then, you know, yoga means bhakti, which is, it's the same ladder. Once you're on the ladder, there's a bottom rung, the top rung, but you're on the ladder. You're not walking around in the hole anymore. So yoga roksha, yoga ruda, but different names, you know. So when you're linking up processes, mostly through rituals, it's karma yoga, rules and regulations. When you're linking up processes to understanding things, like now, you know, with the goal of loving Krishna, and it's karma, mishra, bhakti, yoga. It's a big science, right? You know, somebody may have some disease, and somebody may say, oh, you got a cold, and someone say, well, it's actually not a cold, it's actually a virus, and it's actually this kind of virus, that antibiotic won't work, and so, you know, a doctor goes down into all these details to hit your disease like that. One time we were at Fisherman's Wharf in San Francisco. It's a real, you know, have big area with all kinds of clubs and bars and outdoor crab cocktail places, and really, you know, at night it becomes more and more heavy, more and more gross. You know, people are paying $150 for dinner, and all these kind of things are going on. So we do chant down there, kirtan. You have 40, 50 devotees, and then some rowdy, drunken guys weren't satisfied with their sense gratifications. They started pushing the devotees and everything else, and really started getting a little violent. So one devotee, Kadamba Kanana, was a Kshatriya, you know. So he went over and started beating on them. And unfortunately, on the back chased him away, but in the back still, he got Bhakta Frank in the nose, like that. So Bhakta Frank he's a big guy, about 6 foot tall, and so his nose is actually bent crooked, blood coming out, you know. So I had to put him in the van right away and go back over to the Berkeley and took him to the hospital, it's right near there, and took him in, and you know, the emergency thing, and the guy took him in. By then, actually, booting it pretty much stopped, and he's lying there, and the guy cleaned his nose up and said, yeah, your nose is, twisted, like this and that. You're going to have to see it. Oh, Dr. Franks, you know. So this guy was going by in his suit, finishing off his day, and he was orthopedic surgeon, like that. He said, oh, this guy just came in his nose, and the doctor looked like, oh, my God, you know, I was finished my day's work. He walks over, kind of pulls his suit up like that, looks at him, puts his hand a certain way on the boy's face like that, and goes, and you can hear this sound. And Dr. Frank, you know, all 220 pounds and about 2 inches off the table, and then the doctor puts his sleeve down and walks out, you know, like that. And his nose is straight again, you know. So the intern, the resident, didn't know specifically how to deal with that thing, but this guy, he knew, the details of orthopedic adjustment and it was no problem. And actually, a little more blood popped out. But the doctor didn't even look back. They let the intern take care of this. It's going to be a little casual bleeding, but there's no veins there. I couldn't possibly rupture an artery or a vein because there are none there. So Neiman's studying medicine now. He's memorizing all the veins, all the bones. You know. Why? Because then maybe you get to do this. And is there a danger of tearing a vein or artery? Well, there's no veins or arteries there. You know, it's just capillaries. So you know more and more and more and more and more like that. So there's dikarmis, karmis, jnanis, dimukti jnanis, and then there's yoga, and yoga divides into different things like that. So karma yoga is different than karma. A karmi wants to enjoy the fruits of his activities in a just way. You know, a karma yogi wants to sacrifice the results of his activities, but he's attached to working in a certain way. An example: some lady, she's doing so many things, but she hasn't got some kids to take care of, to protect, to educate, to grow up, grow up properly. So she feels useless. Not that they protect me when I'm old and give me a nice house and nice clothes. You know, no. Let them be devotees of Krishna. Let them be good people and do whatever they should in life. You know, she's not a karmi. You know, she wants to actually raise them properly so that they'll be good people. They'll help the mission of the human life like that. So she's a karma yogini. But unless she has kids, this feels useless. So Arjuna, the same thing. He has to have people to protect. He has to lead them. He has to have this, thing. Not so they'll glorify him, but they'll glorify God. But he's attached to his mode of working. It's easier to announce the results of activity than it is the mode of working. Right? Subtle point. So therefore, you may have to work to a certain mode. You can't give it up. Some other service is better for Krishna, but you're just not in that platform. So Krishna doesn't demand it. He says, I know, you can't do this. You know? So what you should do is, what I need is a cook, but you're attached to washing the floor. So, okay, I'll get by with, miserable cooking. But for you, the best thing for you is to go ahead and wash the floor, like that. And just do it, and keep it clean. And by that, you become then a jnana yogi. Right? What's making me happy and what's linking me up is not the activity, it's just the fact that I'm doing it for a higher purpose. So what is that higher purpose? So I'm still working out and investigating, thinking, learning, And what is that higher purpose? Bahunam yamanam mante ganavam mam. Yeah, he surrenders to Krishna. Oh, Krishna, you really know. Yeah, Krishna's that purpose. So it doesn't matter what I do. Okay, Krishna needs a cook. Not my nature, but let me try and do it. Yeah, it's bound to be better than no cook. Like that. So you go in the kitchen, and that's bhakti yoga. Yeah. In the beginning, we're in the river, and the river, the river of karma, of time, and we're being bounced down, we're being bounced off of rocks, crocodiles are snapping at us, everything's going on, this is life, here comes the waterfall, another waterfall, bam, like that, new body, and see, going down the river, then you see like this trunk floating down, so you grab a hold of this trunk, and this is not bad, there's some beehive here with some honey, and if I'm careful, I get some honey without being bitten too much, and my head's above water, and there's some shade here from the sun, and So you've got a human body, right? And so Krishna's running along the side of the bank saying, take the rope, No, I got this really nice human body now. Why should I do that? There's a waterfall 200 feet ahead. You're going to die, whatever, like that. So in the beginning, we're absorbed in our karma. We're attached to it, like that. But as we become, we're following the instructions, and little by little, getting one hand on the rope, then little by little, become more and more detached, like that. At some point, we got a hold of the rope and the trunk, and Krishna can do some adjustments. Then, even though we're holding on to the log, in terms of getting us into a port like a river where the current's not so fast, not so many crocodiles, and then we have a little less fear of letting go of the tree. So finally, we let go of the tree. That's diksha. So at that point, even though the water is still pulling on us, we aren't hanging on to the tree, right? So at that point, we take initiation. Sishyas teham sarimam tram papanam. At the time of initiation, right? Devotee, diksha kali, bhakti kari, atma samarpan, se kali, tari kari, Krishna atma sam. The time of diksha, baptism, initiation, surrendering to Arjuna, to Krishna, then Krishna takes responsibility for our karma, Now we're in the water. Now he gives us instructions more how to get out. So we still have the influence there, but now we're connected like that. And the connection's there, and we should hang on to it like that. But still we're being pulled, and he has to get us out. So at a certain point, at the point of initiation, we're following properly. At that point, then there's a signification, yes, now you're qualified to take the rope. You can do it. You've done it. You're connected. You promised. Like that. So then the modes of nature, Now it's under, you know, the reins of our karma, goodness, passion, ignorance, passion, goodness, ignorance. And Durga Devi hands them over to Radharani, and now Radharani is using them. You know, and now we've agreed that our karma will teach us lessons to get free from our ego, our false ego. We've agreed to take the lessons. We've agreed to take the medicine, like that. So now it's no longer just action reaction of our desires. Now it's like, everything that happens, now our karma is under control of Krishna. You know? Krishna karma. Ma karma kirma. Right? So it's there, but now it's Krishna's controlling it. And we're making it, everything that happens is giving us jnana, like that. You know? Then at some point, yeah, we become freed, you know, from karma. And at that point, we can enter back into it as Krishna desires. So yeah, he's completely self-realized soul in the end. Krishna becomes Govinda, instructing spiritual master after Arjuna surrenders. When Arjuna is perfect, he becomes Gopinath. Now he's just going to enjoy his service, like that. So Arjuna is going back into the modes of nature, but now he's going back in with full authority, full power, to actually control them, like that. So whatever Arjuna does, not under the control of nature. There's no passion or anger in him killing somebody. Right? He's going to the point of even killing people. But there's not even goodness in him. It's totally transcendental activity like that. Right? But he's in the modes of nature. Right? Yeah. Yeah. So this is subtle. Very difficult to understand. What does karma become? Our karma. Jai is being pushed by his karma. Because he wants to be. Yeah? So in the beginning, Krishna's saying, yeah, well, okay, you're still too attached. I mean, I can't pull you right now because you'll lose your grip on the rope. Like that, right? So I'm gonna go along with you. And every step I'm helping you and guiding and stuff like that. But we have to go along with the current now. You know, because you're still deeply in the water. So now let me take you this way, take you that way. You know, I can avoid this, but I can't avoid that. You're going to have to go through this. So take a deep breath. You know, we're going to go down the waterfall. We're going to go down together like that. So as you go down with the rope, it's not as bad as we went down without the rope, right? Yeah, it's a lot better going down with the rope than it is without the rope. You know, so take a deep breath. So sometimes ignorance is prominent. Sometimes passion is prominent. So we have to, like, you know, what's the rope? What's our connection to the Purana? Yeah, I got a lot of guys here. Prabhupada's holding onto a rope, it's holding onto Bhakti Siddhanta, we're just holding onto Lord Chaitanya. So what's our rope? What's our connection to this Parampara? Yeah, but what is he given us? He's given us this sacrifice. 16 good rounds, 4 of the principles. Different gurus have different ropes. But, you know, if you want to be a part of this chain, you know, and it's similar, you know, rope's a rope, one's red, one's blue, one's yellow, but, you know, similar features. You have to do yajna sacrifice for Vishnu. What's that sacrifice? China names, specifically. You know, 16 good rounds of Maha Mantra Mala every day and following these 4 principles strictly. And then I personally, probably said in Los Angeles, he said, if you chant 16 good rounds and follow these 4 principles strictly and live in the temple for your whole life, I promise at the end of this miserable material existence, I will personally come and take you back home, back to Godhead. So that's how, you know, personal it is. But there's a contract, you know, and stuff. And we're being helped, so we can do it. But that's our connection. So this is happening, that's happening, he said this, she said that, my leg just got chopped off, you know, but Prabhu, could you hand me my bead bag? I'm going to chant my rounds. You know, maybe if you're, I probably said that if you can't sleep or eat, then maybe you can't chant your rounds like that. You're so disturbed you can't even sleep, you can't eat, okay, I can understand. Maybe you can't chant your rounds. But if you can sleep or eat, then you have time and everything else to get your rounds done, like that. And then no matter what happens, you know, who are you? I'm a servant of Krishna, I chant my rounds, and then Krishna can help us, right? 1,728 times you're saying the mantra, you know, so buddhi, didami buddhi yogam tam. I give them the intelligence by which they can come to me. You know, okay, what do I need? You need to do this, you need to do that. Don't talk with these people right now. There's a bad relationship with them. I can't explain why it's going on, but just don't worry about it. So avoid them. You associate with these people. They're kind of crazy, but they're good association now. Do this, do that. And you get, you know, some sober intelligence, you know, about how to live your karmic activities and go through your attachments, you know. I know you're attached to this, okay, so drink 7-Up rather than beer, and in large quantities, you know, go out and distribute books like a madman, and, you know, like that, rather than selling, you know, something else. You know? Yeah. He guides us, Krishna guides us in our karma yoga. He became a charioteer and took Arjuna across the battlefield like that. So I kind of stop hearing this, right? Oh, I don't know.
I have no question.
Okay, I got it. Arjuna has in the beginning is only compassion. It's only shadow compassion. It's compassion for the body. That's the whole point. He doesn't want to see Bhishma losing his body, Drona losing his body, his cousins losing their bodies, like that. You know? So his deep. But the real compassion is that Krishna has every Krishna has everything. Krishna is very compassionate. So everybody is going to go to a better situation like that. He says Bhishma and Drona, they have the old bodies. You know, Bhishma's wants to die. He's tired of all this, you know. So now he's going to die, but Krishna's arranged to leave this body. Very good, you know. So that's the whole point. Compassion in this case means booty. Buddha.
Does it have something to do with the
person
form of the God?
Yeah.
All these
Well, Christianity, at least I know that. The Bible, for example, very specifically talking about killing on the order of God, Gideon and other people like that. He wanted to the same thing. He didn't want to kill these people and stuff else. And God said, "No, I have my work. So you kill them," like that. And Hamlet, back to Hamlet, his philosophy, which many people absorb. His conclusion is, there is a destiny, karma. Rough hewn though it may be, it's roughly cut. Maybe there's not like detailed, but there's a destiny, rough hewn though it may be, which controls our activities. And we can but be actors in this drama. His conclusion is the same thing. You have your destiny, you have your situation, but you have to just to make your choice to act that destiny out in the best way you can, like that and so on. You know? So we're that's his conclusion. So our point is that yes, that we are talking about ultimate compassion. You know, compassion means to that the other living entities should get out of the cycle of birth and death altogether. So Duryodhana, if Arjuna had walked away from this, and Duryodhana would have continued as king and enjoyed life and everything else and thought, "I'm a great guy, I never did anything wrong in my life," and gone ahead with this, but as a result of this activity, he was forced to look at what he'd done and everything else and realize, "No, I did certain things which were just, even I don't accept them, reprehensible," like that, you know? So he became more purified, you know, at heart, and he took that with him, you know? So the compassion in the Vedas, because it's a mistake, people consider that, no, He's not saying, don't be compassionate, you know. I'm everybody's best friend. I know what's going on like that. But compassion means, like somebody has a fish hook in their finger, and out of compassion, don't want, why do you do it? Once the fish hook goes in, the only way to get it out is to push it through. You know, you can't back it out. So please push this fish, push it through. Oh, I don't want to hurt you. No, push it through. No, I don't want to hurt you. Like that. And sorry, there's no other way. So, okay, so you go, okay, on the count of three, I'll push it through. You ready? One, two, she lied, I'm sorry. So that's, you know, certain, Prabhupada says that the Veda is saying, violence is never good. We agree. But in the material world, sometimes it's necessary to defend the weak against the strong when good arguments fail. So they're very subtle questions, but at some point, yes, it says, they want to do this, but they have to protect these people, so I got to do some violence for a better situation. You know? So this is our point, that Arjuna's compassion was simply, it wasn't really it was a shadow of compassion. And why was he confused? Because he was contaminated with his own desires to enjoy, like that selfishly. When he gave that up, then he could see what was best, really best for me, and really best for others. You know? Send it to Krishna, and cut the wound open, and squeeze out the contamination. And then everything will heal. And everybody can go where they're supposed to go. Krishna came because the world was overburdened with the unnecessary defense forces of millions and millions of people. Bhumi was suffering, they're suffering, like that. You know? You know? Compassion for an alcoholic, buying him alcohol. Well, he's going to suffer, ultimately. So you find some way to get him off the habit. And maybe it'll involve a little bit of, you know, suffering in the beginning. You know, not too much, but something. Restrain him, help him. You know. Mahabharata, one thing is like there are South Indian Mahabharatas, there are many different Mahabharatas, and Madhvacharya, our Acharya, says, he says some things have been added, some things have been taken out, and some things have been put where they don't belong. So just in general, in terms of like sometimes Mahabharatas, if you take some certain incidents like that, you know, you may find something which is actually not what happened, stuff like that. So as evidence, sometimes it's a little bit tricky. But other than that, of course, also it's like, you know, he even got Bhishma not to, he said that this Bhishma, yes, Sri Krishna, this gambling match is coming up. Everybody knows there's going to be something tricky going on here. And I think it's going to come down to some, you know, thing where they're going to ask you to make some decision about what is right and what is wrong. Because it'll come to you, because you're the elder guru. I want you not to get involved. And I said, all right, I'm a kshatriya, you beg charity from me, I'll do it. So it goes on and on and on like this, and about to just nude Draupadi, and then finally goes to Bhishma. Bhishma, this is a dharma, isn't it? Isn't it? It should not go on, right, Bhishma? And Bhishma says, remember what Krishna said, and he says, I can't say. And they think he means you can't distinguish, right? He says, it's a dharma, he said, I can't say. Why? Because Sri Krishna asked me not to say. And Sri Krishna knew this, and he has some plan here. How interesting. He's in control of everything. Like that. You know? So he has his reason the same way. The doctor, you know, for example, he may be getting a certain, for example, I had tonsillitis as a child. And the doctor gave me, I was coughing up mucus and everything else, he gave me something which actually increased the coughing and the mucus going out. So the symptoms got worse. Why? Because that was going to maybe bring out the virus and stuff like that and so on. You know? So many times the medical care involves actually something which actually stimulates the disease to develop in a certain way and come to a certain point, like a boil. Actually, you want it to come to the surface like that. It's tearing the skin, it's coming painful, but at a certain point, when it comes to the surface, you put a vacuum or suction on it to actually do it, you know, like that. Because then you can get rid of it. That's very common in reality. So many times Krishna does that. He agitates people's desires. I'm not afraid of death. Oh, yeah? And the way home something happens, I realize I'm afraid of death. I got to learn something more. I thought I was so stupid, I didn't know that. You know? So sometimes, yeah. I mean, people argue about Krishna. He's a tricky, tricky fellow. Yeah. It's better to worship Vishnu than more straightforward. Simple. Right. Yeah. So thank you very much. We're here in, actually, a few days. Come again. We'll be here today, tomorrow. Have some programs. Actually, many programs throughout this week. And we will discuss Isopanishad. I've been working a lot since I was here last on architecture and trying to organize some, develop some programs preaching in architecture. So this time while we're in India, we did a lot of research on Stapatya Veda, actual authentic sources and stuff like that. It's coming together very nicely. My life, I'm struggling not to sleep too much, not to eat too much, everything else, you know, control my mind, you know, and with everybody. And it's getting, but it seems actually just, you know, step by step, it's like, you know, you know, four steps forward, you know, three steps backwards. So gradually it's a fact, since we're making some progress, you know, and begin to see things. And so my life is also becoming more integrated, organized, and the goals becoming, the responsibilities becoming clearer. So my meditation in life is becoming, you know, clearer what I should actually do, you know, my mission in life. My karma yoga is becoming more infested with jnana yoga. What happens? You're still in a field of activities, you're still attached, but it's becoming more and more a meditation. Every activity is becoming part of a very intelligent plan, like that, you know? And you're becoming more intelligent about what your life and what your activity means, and it's becoming more focused. That's what I should do, and now I just can really just, you know, work, forget other things, just work on this. I know, yeah, this will, you know? And then you begin, as you begin to see Krishna, like that. I want to thank everybody. Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki.
We've got a few announcements. So, Maharaj is going to talk about Vastu Shastra on 25th, right?
Yep.
25th evening.
House opening ceremony.
House long ceremony. If you want to know about Vastu Shastra, that's the science of building architecture. From the Vedas. He's going to talk about Ishopanishad, one of the sessions, and about Brajmandal Parikrama, one of those.
Yeah, why not?
So we got a whole week of programs here. And at the feast, today was sponsored by the Ayers, Nalini and Ravi Ayers. It's a Kashi feast, the Kashi feast. It's very nice, a very special feast. So, what time?
I see how many times.
What time?
32 hours.
What time?
It's 8:33 and 23 seconds.
So you want to do a little bit of kirtan, and then we will have prasadam. So just a little bit of chanting, 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.